Time for a weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. With us today is Kevin Wooster, veteran journalist and reporter for KELO-TV and Rapid City. Kevin, nice to talk with you today.
Carl, delighted to be back.
Also with us is Roger Whittle, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. And Roger, thanks for joining us as well.
Glad to be here.
Well, according to two external reviews released to legislators last week, South Dakota's Economic Development Office didn't take enough precautions to prevent potential fraud or collect enough information from some grant recipients, but they also didn't turn up any new wrongdoing or major violations. A detailed audit of the Economic Development Office is expected soon, and federal officials are also investigating. This is all related to the financing of the failed beef packing plant in Aberdeen. Kevin, we'll start with you. Are these first two reviews essentially good news for all the parties concerned?
I think it's kind of about what I thought would come out, and it seems to be moving along at a process that makes sense at a time frame, you know, in a time frame that makes sense. I don't think there's any doubt when you look at the way things worked out that there was some sloppiness involved in that part of the administration during that period of time for those, you know, significant dollars. And I think it makes sense to be pursuing it the way they are pursuing it. I guess I didn't expect, and maybe I'm just naive and too trusting of most South Dakotans and most systems here, but I guess I didn't expect for there to be some grand scandal there with huge amounts of money and a whole bunch of people involved. Seems to me like it was a certain amount and a certain person in particular, and possibly, you know, that part of the program. It's looking pretty much like that's what we'll have, although there's still more investigating to do.
So you don't expect, Kevin, that there'll be some wrongdoing uncovered in the other investigations? Something more major?
I'll be a little surprised. Yeah. I'll be a little surprised if it gets much beyond the scope of wrongdoing that we seem to identify it already. You know, it's unfortunate that the person that's at the middle of all this isn't here to answer some questions or defend himself or do some explaining. But based on what we have, I'll be surprised if it magnifies much from where it is now.
Roger Whittle, do you share that same thought? Same thoughts?
Absolutely. The first reviews, of course, were not the major ones. It's being done by outside people. But I don't think anybody expected any systematic wrongdoing on the state level. From what I've heard, that the gentleman who actually had spent some time in Watertown, who was accused of double dipping, that even could have just been an error on his part, a mistake. I've heard he wasn't the really a precise, you know, kept good files, that kind of a guy. So, yeah, I don't think anybody expected anything really major to come out of this one. Whether or not something comes out of the final one, we'll have to wait and see, but I would be surprised.
So, Roger, you think these reviews, at least these first two anyway, help us understand what went wrong and what happened?
Well, this is such a complicated issue. I'm not sure anybody fully understands that this program that seemed to start as a good idea and just morphed into something that was beyond control. I think as more information comes out, we'll know more. If we ever know the whole story, you know, I hope we do, but I would not be surprised if this just eventually fades away and everybody stops caring rather than actually figuring out exactly what the problems were.
Well, yesterday the State House called for legislative hearings on the Economic Development Office getting into this some more. Kevin Wooster, important that lawmakers conduct their own hearings?
I think that's okay. That makes some sense to me. They've got some real well-qualified groups looking into it now and have been looking into it, and there will be more of that. But it's a big issue. There's a fair amount of money involved. There was a death involved that, you know, apparently was suicide, and a cabinet-level official for the former administration. I don't think it's outside of you know, the pragmatic responsibility of lawmakers to take a hard look at it themselves.
And Roger Whittle, do you think this will be a major issue for the second half of legislative session?
I would think it would not be a major issue. Depending on what these investigations turn up, it could become an issue in our election season.
Oh, we love that, too, when they become issues during our election season.
Well, staying with the Capitol, last week state lawmakers introduced a bill that would nullify municipal and county ordinances against texting while driving. And Kevin Wooster, I think this has some people scratching their heads. What's going on here?
Well, as I said in one of my blogs recently, I just love it when Republicans want to take away local control. It's so counterintuitive and fun. But, you know, I think what's going on is, you know, some of the legislators that would support this, Speaker Gosch in particular, argue that it's all about making things uniform. And you don't want somebody in Minnehaha County driving into Lincoln County or driving down to Clay County or Union County when they're used to texting in one and not getting in trouble, and then suddenly they drive into another and get in trouble, or if you go from Sioux Falls to Mitchell and one has it and one doesn't. You know, it's we have a lot of different rules in different towns and different counties around the state. I guess they would argue that traffic rules are somehow unique, and maybe there's some concern about having a patchwork of different rules on texting. But as I think I said in my blog, if you're interested in consistency, you may make an argument on consistency in driving performance, because it certainly leads to an inconsistent, dangerous type of driving when you got a whole bunch of people punching numbers or letters into their palms when they're trying to drive big vehicles at a fairly high rate of speed.
Hey, Kevin, what's your take on this this bill?
Left me scratching my head. I know both Kevin Wooster and my town, I believe, have rules against texting while driving. And I think if a town wants to pass the rule, they should be able to and not have peer tell them that they can't do that.
Moving on to the issue of health care, Governor Dugard, with support from both Republican and Democrat legislative leaders, has sent a letter to Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius for permission for a partial Medicaid expansion up to 100% of the poverty line. This seems to be something of a compromise here. Kevin, does this seem like it's a good compromise?
Well, it depends on who you're talking to. The last I knew, the White House didn't seem real interested in this. But, you know, the governor's been kind of making this argument all along that I'm really not comfortable at this time expanding it all the way to cover everybody when some of the, I think the numbers we always talk about are 48,000 people would be affected by the expansion in its, you know, its totality. But that some of those people apparently would be eligible for assistance on the exchanges. And some of the rest, the poorest, I think he's talking about reaching out and helping, but wants to place some limits on that. I guess I'll be a little surprised if that works out, but it makes sense to offer and to talk, and it's always a good thing when people are talking and making offers and maybe hearing a counteroffer from time to time.
Roger Whittle?
That is true. In the beginning, Governor Dugard was dead set against any expansion of Medicaid in the state, and he is softening on that a bit. I know there's a lot of people think it's a good idea, including our Senate candidate, Rick Weiland, who has been beating this drum since the beginning. So it's making at least him happy in the state.
Yeah, yesterday, Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Rick Weiland said that he wants to expand Medicare, the health system for those older than 65. He wants to expand it to all Americans, giving them the choice of whether to buy into the system or stick with private insurance. Roger Whittle, does that this expansion of Medicare, this idea, one that you think will resonate with South Dakota voters?
Well, it might. We have a older than average population here in South Dakota, and a lot of people are on Medicare. And according to what Rick is touting, that they all like it and think it's great. So why not expand it to everybody? We'll see how it flies with everybody, but sounds like a good idea.
Kevin, it seems like a rather bold move on his part.
Well, I'd be interested. I was involved in a procedure yesterday that I won't get into detail on, but it's a preventative procedure that some people would say is unpleasant. But I missed whether or not Rick Weiland was specific on how this would connect or not connect to Obamacare, and whether or not this would be a replacement or what. But this is a fairly popular idea, because when people talk about government health care, most people like Medicare. Even people that are pretty conservative and hate Obamacare, when you say, well, what about Medicare? Oh, that's pretty good. And I even know a couple of real conservative ranchers out here, one of them who told me the only thing I ever agreed with George McGovern on in my life was when he said we ought to just expand Medicare and have it be, you know, the system that we can all have access to. So it's I think, a fairly popular notion for him. I don't know if it gets him over the hump of the unpopularity by a lot of people, a fairly large percentage maybe in South Dakota on the Obamacare issue. But it's an interesting idea, and if you're in his position as an underdog, it's interesting ideas are important to raise.
So, Roger Whittle, from that perspective, having an interesting and bold idea, that's a good move for his campaign?
Oh, I would think so. The more he can get his name out there, the better. He's certainly working hard these days.
And this seems like the first... He's been traveling around the state, but it seems like this was like the first thing that, for a while anyway, that's really got Rick Wyland in the papers. So maybe this is working.
He keeps trying. You know, he sends stuff out all the time, and I know that if I had been more with it yesterday, I probably would have followed up on this. You know, part of our job, as you know, Carl, as reporters, is we get this deluge of people, politicians, trying to get us to report on things, and this is one of those where the kind of sent a ding up in the mind that, yeah, let's look at this a little more closely. So he's been doing a number of issues, and some of them connect and some of them don't, and I think this one probably connects.
There's a little bit of news continuing with the South Dakota High School Activities Association. They're facing legislation that would place the organization under the purview of some open meeting laws, and yesterday the Activities Association unanimously voted to draft a resolution or policy to ensure transparency within the organization. And the resolution was drafted during a closed session, which State Senator Corey Brown of Gettysburg, who's drafted some open meeting legislation, said was probably the ultimate irony. Roger Whittle, does he have a point?
Oh, he sure does. The Activities Association has been doing some eyebrow-raising things lately, and they really have no accountability to anybody. So even the fact that they had to go into secret session to determine whether or not they should be allowed to go into secret session is very telling.
And Kevin Wooster, notice the irony there as well?
Well, I think there's always a little irony in that. I think that I spoke with Wayne Carney this morning, executive director, about it, and his argument is that they're a lot more open than people give them credit for, that they've actually for many, many years had a legislative audit and had that audit available to the member schools and to other people if they want it, that a year-end review, that their agendas are on the are open, that their meetings are open. And he argues that they met in it on this resolution, that they even followed the open meeting laws, even though because they're kind of a voluntary nonprofit, they're in kind of a gray area as an institution whether or not they need to follow these laws, but that they consulted with their lawyer and that they thought their legal counsel and that they thought they could have this discussion in private, in a closed or secret session, as you prefer to call it, and then come out and take a vote in public after a brief discussion, which he says is what they did. So, I mean, they're kind of in a spot that a lot of entities are in where we want more openness, and we think more openness would be good. Wayne Carney says that they're working with senators and representatives on this, and they want to be more open if people, you know, think that's necessary. They want to see if they can improve things. Their argument is that they're fairly open already and that they comply with, you know, with many of the laws that pertain to them in openness the way it is. As I said before, I think what they need to do is, I think their board members need to be more open about talking about what they're doing and not referring everything to the executives all the time. And I don't know how you get at that.
And Roger Whittle, do you think they're open enough?
Well, if people perceive that they're not, then there's obviously a problem somewhere. So I thought that was an interesting thing that Wayne said. We're more open than people think we are. Well, if people don't think you're open, then there's a problem somewhere in my book.
That was my paraphrase, too. I hope I was fair to you.
Well, paraphrasing you is one of my favorite things to do.
From Wayne to me to you to the reader to the listeners out there, something could get lost.
What is that game where you whisper something in someone's ear and who knows what it comes out?
By the end, we're lucky to have the name right.
Well, the U.S. Senate passed the Farm Bill yesterday, sent it to President Obama, who's expected to sign it. Not everyone is happy with the bill. Republican Senator John McCain called it a monstrosity filled with special interest pet projects. Some Democrats were unhappy with the cuts to food stamps. South Dakota Senators Tim Johnston and John Thune both voted in favor of the bill. Roger Whittle, from your perspective anyway, it seemed like most South Dakota's the ag producers, farmers, ranchers generally happy with the end result of this bill?
I, from what I've heard, everyone's happy it got passed, and we could say it got passed right on schedule, which is months and months late. But all of our Congress people are for it. I haven't heard any negative comments from any of our farmers or ranchers. And I'd say if you have Democrats and Republicans who are both upset about something, it must be a good bill.
Is that the way it seems to you too, Kevin?
I mean, McCain's right. It is a monstrosity filled with special interest pet projects, which doesn't necessarily mean you shouldn't pass it. And I think it's, I think there are some improvements there in terms of direct payments, and I think there's some money there that's really going to be needed as soon as possible for some of the ranchers out here, that some of whom had horrible losses. And there's some other issues there that, as Roger said, not everybody was happy with some things. Democrats didn't like some of the food stamp cuts and those kinds of things, and certainly could have gone farther getting away from the corporate agriculture feed trough. But all in all, I think everybody's relieved that it passed, and farmers and ranchers are going to have a roadmap for the next 5 years.
And that's important, so they can make plans?
Very important.
Are we done now talking about the farm bill, at least for the next 5 years?
It would
depends
appear
on how
so.
Well
let's
it'll play.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, Roger.
Will it be a campaign issue? I mean, is there something that somebody can exploit against or for somebody? It's always worth it. And you know, part of that is it'll take us all a while to figure out exactly what was in it, too. So we'll be talking about this for quite a while.